Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
He is who he is. I mean, he's an incredible player. He's had a huge impact on this league, and you see kids wearing the jerseys. You see kids wearing Josh's jersey, and I mean, when you grow up watching players like Josh and like Patrick, they impact their communities, and they impact the world, really, because of who they are and how they do things. So I'm certainly a ton of respect for him.
Jay, what was the general reaction to Chiefs fans a week ago tonight when they ended up trading up to the Bills to select Patrick Mahomes?
Thank you, Buffalo.
It still stings.
It's okay, though. I think it all happened for a reason. If we'd been over this, like if Patrick Mahomes is wearing Bills gear, the way the state of the Bills franchise at that point would have been Mahomes.
I don't know. Does Jay feel the same way? Jay Binkley, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Joining us now in the Sports Bar, Jay, it's always great having you on, and we have you on frequently because, well, these have become familiar opponents. They're not in the same division, but they certainly face each other, it feels like, at least twice a year. And here we are again, the regular season matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs. And I know Geno said off air to you when he was screening you that we all should be like excited about this game. We're not over this matchup, this rivalry. I know though there are a segment of Bills fans that really don't care about the outcome of this game on Sunday because all they really want to be able to say is we beat them in January.
Well, that's fair, and I think Kansas City fans look at that as well. Until they look at the slate of games this weekend, as I was telling Gene, your Sunday night treat is the Seahawks at Commanders Sunday Night Football, and your Monday Night Football game is the Cards and Cowboys. So you know what? Just sit back and enjoy the Chiefs and Buffalo Bills because it will be the only good football game in the NFL you get. Well, there are some other good games, but I mean, as far as from 3 o'clock on. The noon slate actually looks pretty good. But, guys, I'm telling you, you guys stay up for that World Series the other night? Did you stay up till 3 a.m.?
Wait, we're on the East Coast, Jay. I mean, we're East Coast dads. We don't have that kind of stamina anymore. What are you talking about?
You know what? I fell asleep too, man. I tried to keep going. But here's the funny thing. The Chiefs play the Commanders that night on Monday Night Football. They play the entire game. They had a flight delay. And they almost made it back to D.C. before that game was over. And they started at the same time.
Crazy.
That's crazy. Jay, I went on the BetQL network with PJ Glasser today, and he hit me with this question. Are fans in Western New York worried about the Bills and the AFC East, that it might not go their way? And I'm like, well, you know what? No. Right now, only a half game back in New England. Yeah. There's no shame in losing to a divisional opponent. I'm going to ask you the same question. Like, what is the level of panic, if that's too strong a word, forgive me, but amongst the fan base here in regards to the Chiefs, who right now trail Denver by one game in the AFC West?
You know, I don't think there's a level of panic. You let things kind of, play out throughout the season. That's kind of what the way the Chiefs have had to play this season out, starting off so bad. And then, of course, letting the Chargers run out to a three-game lead in the AFC West because they beat Kansas City, Denver, and Raiders right there their first three games. So, they were sitting real good. Then injuries, of course, happened. Now they started getting two of their three offensive linemen back, and things changed. But I always tell people to relax. It is going to be tough right now because it's Chiefs at Buffalo, then a bye week, and then Denver at Denver. So that's going to be a tough game. So, but the Chiefs at least had that bye week before the Broncos. Then they turn around and play Indy. So it's three tough games coming up here for the Chiefs. The Bills, the Broncos, and the Colts. Then it starts to even out a little bit. Dallas on Thanksgiving. And look at this home schedule for December, guys. The Chiefs have the Houston Texans at home, followed by the Chargers at home. Road trip to Tennessee, Denver Broncos at home at the Raiders. So from December on, their two toughest road games are the Titans, which are terrible. Ask the Colts, they beat them twice. And the Raiders, who the Chiefs pounded. And then the division games with the Chargers and Broncos at Arrowhead Stadium. Doesn't get any better for them there. These next 3 weeks, it's tough. It ends up pretty nice.
Those division games are everything, but I still could see a scenario where if the Chiefs were to lose to Buffalo on Sunday, that they would be the team kind of like scratching and clawing to find their way into the postseason. Am I wrong on that, Jay?
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's going to be tough. Denver's a good team. I know that some of their scores get a little close, like the Giants game that they had where they scored 33 points in the fourth, but they're a tough team. I think they're the second-best team in the division, to be honest with you. Yeah, the Chargers are good when healthy. When they got Alt back and Pipkins back, it looked like a different team. They'll get Hampton back here in a couple of weeks, so they'll still be around. But I do think the Broncos are the second-best team in the West. And as far as the Patriots are concerned, I think they're good, and I think they're going places, but I don't think they're ready yet. You know, this is still Buffalo's year. I see this all the time in the NFL. These hot teams that show up out of nowhere and are good, like the Jags, and then they'll go back down, to reality and can't keep the thing going. So yeah, for the Bills and the Chiefs, I think they sit in a pretty good position, both of them at this point. Season's still, we turn halfway point at halftime this week, so half the season will be done once it's halftime. So you've got a full another half the season to go.
You mentioned the Jags, Jay. I mean, it's interesting. Like, that's the team that I have circled as, like, if there was a team in the AFC that could spoil the Chiefs' playoff hopes, it would be a team like Jacksonville who beat them head-to-head, and I still don't know how that happened.
If they get there, the Chiefs don't know how it happened either. I mean, they had an interception that bounced off four different hands. They could have got it. And that last play of the game where Lawrence runs around and gets in the end zone, that bothered him. I mean, I rarely see losses bother the Chiefs as much, but that one bothered them a lot. And, guys, we've seen this from Jacksonville. I mean, we saw with Blake Bortles. They go to the AFC title game and play the Patriots. Then they fall off into oblivion. And then all of a sudden, they resurge with Doug Peterson. They win a playoff game where they had that comeback against the Chargers. Then all of a sudden they suck again, and they're drafting Travis Hunter, second in the draft. This year they beat the Chiefs, and now they haven't looked good the last couple of weeks. So if they even make the playoffs, could that be a team? Now it's the Colts. Now you're talking about the Colts. Can the Colts? Can the Bills? It's new blood. It's not necessarily the Bengals and Ravens anymore. Substitute those names with the Colts, the Denver Broncos, the Chargers, other teams. Houston doesn't appear to want to be taking that step either. Here's a team that's won playoff games the last 2 years, but they're not parlaying that this year, you know, to a dominant football team. So we'll see. And with the Bills and the Chiefs, there's one common denominator between both of them. They're always good. And we see other teams rise up and play well, like Houston's, like the Baltimore's, like the Bengals have. But there's one constant. It's the Chiefs and Bills still being good.
Yeah, Jay Binkley, 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City. Jay, we could be positive about the Bills' 40-9 win over Carolina, but the way Danger and I and other people look at it here is like, that was Andy Dalton. That was a really bad quarterback. The Bills' defense knew what to do, and that's just do everything they could to stop the run. The Bills have been susceptible to allowing big yardage on the ground. So we know you have Kareem Hunt. We know we're not going to see Isaiah Pacheco this week. Tell us about the Kansas City back that you might, really.
Yeah, you might. I mean, we'll see. It's kind of a day-to-day type of thing, but we'll see what happens with Pacheco. I was a little bit surprised in that Bills-Panthers game, and I know it was Dalton starting, but the Panthers, believe it or not, had played very well at home. I mean, they beat the Falcons 30-0 at home. You know, they had beaten the Cowboys at home. They played well at home, so that was actually, I know that people might be down on that game or whatever, that was a very impressive win by Buffalo there. But yeah, Pacheco, it's kind of going to be a wait and see with his injury. Kareem Hunt might get more of the dose for the Chiefs, and also Breshad Smith. that they've gradually, that rookie they have, that they've gradually been sprinkled in with the elite speed, former wide receiver at Miami that turned running back at SMU and had a great year. They've gradually been putting him in to more and more running plays. Then they have Elijah Mitchell that they actually paid more than Kareem Hunt in guaranteed money and money to be on the Chiefs, and he's been inactive the last couple, or actually the whole season he's been inactive, but he's still in the 53-man roster. They bring him in from Frisco, ran a 4.32, so it's a guy with speed, but they've done this before. They did this with Jerry McKinnon. You know, they slow played him throughout the year, maybe block or something, then towards about week 8, they unleash him, and he starts becoming, you know, a good receiver out of the backfield. So, you know, they're careful with what they do with the running back situation. I mean, they don't want to see Mahomes have to tear off and run as much as he did at the beginning of the year. I mean, this guy's already over 250 yards rushing. I mean, this is something that I don't think they planned for at all, for him to have that many yards. But, yeah, keep an eye on Pacheco. He may or may not play. He didn't practice today, of course, but that doesn't mean he's done.
Jay, I don't believe you, respectfully. I don't think Pacheco's playing. So I think that
chances are he's not. I mean, he did leave with an MCL sprain. So it is an MCL sprain with Isaiah Pacheco. So the chances of him not playing and then have the bye week to rest up, that's very plausible. I'm saying he could maybe in a pinch, but to be honest with you, I don't see it because of the bye week coming up after the Bills game. So, but I honestly, I don't think that matters.
Jay, when you talk about Pacheco and what we've seen of him this year, and really all of the Kansas City running backs, is this team one-dimensional? I mean, how has the run game looked up to this point? I'm asking as an Isaiah Pacheco fantasy football owner who's just been wildly disappointed through 8 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he's starting to show something the last couple of weeks. The run blocking has been there, and maybe the emphasis, because, you know, when you start getting weapons back at wide receiver, when Rashee Rice comes back, when Xavier Worthy came back, things changed a little bit. You can't necessarily put 8 guys in the box anymore. And they've got to respect the receiver's ability. And then Tyquan Thornton has shown what he can do down the field with the Chiefs for 3 touchdowns on the year. So it's opened a few things up. The running game has, and always that threat from Mahomes to run the football. It's opened things up in the running game. They are 12th in the NFL in rushing. I mean, believe it or not, I mean, it's by committee. I mean, it's a different running backs. It's Mahomes sprinkled in there. It's the jet sweeps or whatever. But they found their way up to 12th in the NFL in rushing. So, you know, they've been doing a much better job at that. So it may not be an elite running back like a Jonathan Taylor, you know, coming at you, but they've found a way to still build up the rushing yards. And it's kind of weird how they do it. It's kind of like how they throw it. They don't have a single receiver over 100 yards receiving this year. They have 2 guys that ended up at 99. But, yeah, excuse me, the run offense is up to 9th in the NFL now, not 12th. They went from 12th to 9th. They average 126.5 yards a game on the ground. So they're still doing it, not doing it with that elite runner, but they're still manufacturing their way to top 10 in the NFL.
Jay, the question that I don't know the answer to, but I'd like to get your theory on this, and we have to acknowledge it is what it is. The Bills in this era here, the Allen Mahomes era, in the regular season, they're 4-1 against the Chiefs. Conversely, the postseason, when it really matters, 0-4. Why the difference? Is there a reason? What are the reasons in your mind?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the games, you know, the regular season, you know, they've been in Buffalo. I don't know if that matters. The Chiefs like playing road games. They do well. So, I don't know. They've been good games. I mean, they've been down to one possession, the ball bouncing, you know, one way or the other. They've been pretty close, competitive football games. And I don't think the Chiefs put as much emphasis on the regular season as the postseason. I will say this, though. The Bills game is very important to them each and every year because of seeding. I mean, that's something they think about. Like, you know, can they still get the 1 seed? Can they be the 2 seed? Now it just matters for the 1 seed, you know, to get that home field advantage throughout. So I know that's very important to them. But Buffalo's just been there. I mean, they just put together good game plans and been better. And a lot of it's honestly Josh Allen. It's the Chiefs, you know, it's Josh Allen going for it on 4th down, you know, turning that 4th and 1 into a touchdown play. And I'll tell you this much, guys. Here's the one thing about the Chiefs, and there's been some stuff written locally about the more aggressive Andy Reid on 4th down instead of punting it. This year he's 80% on 4th down. 12 of 15 are the Chiefs on 4th down. But here's the kicker, and I'm going to talk about it tonight on the show a little bit. And I was like, I think people are forgetting just how good their defense has been on fourth down. You go back just 4 years, they were giving up 57% of fourth downs, fourth and ones, the teams, 20 of 35, most in the NFL. The next year, 46.4%. Last year, 52.2%. So it's basically been a coin flip. Like, if you're playing the Chiefs, you have a coin flip chance of getting a first down against them. This year, it's much different. Only 4 of 16 first downs have been converted on the Chiefs on fourth down. They've done much better in fourth down defense. That's 25%, and that leads the league. And of course, a couple of those were tush pushes by the Philadelphia Eagles that kind of slant those stats a little bit. But, yeah, they've been much better on fourth down, where teams, you know, beforehand could pick up that first down kind of half the time or even more than that against the Kansas City Chiefs, but they haven't. So that is one thing that Spags has really done extremely well, is kind of shore up the fourth down defense for the Chiefs to become much, much more viable.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So talk a little bit about what Spags might be thinking here going into this game, because you mentioned that the Chiefs' rushing attack is top 10 in the NFL. The Bills are first. They've got an average of over 5.2 yards per carry. We don't have to review what James Cook did against Carolina. It was spectacular. Does Spags focus on stopping Cook and Allen in the run game, or does he focus on you know, preventing Josh Allen from the big play over the top and making big plays with his legs as well?
I think Josh Allen would be target number one. The Chiefs do have, in the next four games, they have number 1, 2, 3, and 4 runners in the National Football League by yardage. And, of course, they know what they're going to face in Cook. But I think Josh Allen's the one to stop. And I know the Chiefs were going to concentrate on Jaden Daniels. Washington's very good at running. They were number 2 in the NFL when the Chiefs faced them. So without Jaden Daniels, they were able to concentrate on that running game of Washington and kind of limit it, even with Debo and Terry McLaurin coming back in that game. The Chiefs didn't allow a 100-yard rusher all of last season. They still haven't this year either. They have shut down other teams' primary runner. And the only guy to get over 100 yards on him was Lamar Jackson, not this year, but the year before when he ran for 122 on him. But no running backs were able to do it. But I know that that Cook can be extremely dangerous for the Chiefs, and this running game for the Bills is extremely scary. They did make a move today on the defensive line, more of a run stepper. I guarantee that Mike Pinnell was part of the plan for what they have coming up in the next couple of weeks. But I assume it'll be Josh Allen. I mean, that's the guy they need to shadow. That's the guy they have to worry about. That's the guy that can take a fourth and one for 15, 20 yards into the end zone and put the Bills ahead. They know that. They know that Josh Allen's the one to stop. If James Cook goes off and has a big game, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. I don't think the receivers strike fear in the Chiefs' secondary to this point, but I think Josh Allen does.
Jay Binkley, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, where you can hear him tonight inside the Odyssey app. Jay, we're only 6 days away from the NFL trade deadline. The Bills, hey, they don't really have any cap space. They'd have to work a little bit of magic. Chiefs don't have much space either, from what I'm reading. What's the expectation in Kansas City? Are the Chiefs going to go get something? If so, what position would you be looking at?
Yeah, the Bills and the Chiefs, what, 1 and 2 for the fewest cap space?
Correct.
So not much money to go spend. I don't think they're going to do much, guys, to be honest with you. And I think they look at their team. Total offense, the Chiefs are 5th. Total defense, they're 4th. So they're top five in both offense and defense. Scoring defense, they're number two. So I know they're happy with that. The defensive line rotation was getting thin. They lost their second-round pick. He was kind of like Chris Jones as far as his pass rush abilities from the interior. But he's lost for the year. And so they need to shore up their running game. They get Mike Pinnell, that's been a former Chiefs, won a couple rings with them. He was let go by Cincinnati. I think he wanted to be let go. And he came back here, but actually has a better like run stuffing grade than currently some of the guys they're trotting out there, like longtime guys like Derek Nottie's been on the defensive line forever. They bring in Tillery. So even though they're putting up good numbers and stats, not a ton of depth there. And I know they like to rotate guys in a lot on the defensive line. So I could see them making the move, and obviously that's the easy choice when people are doing trade deadline targets. I don't know if the trade deadline will be as active as we think it is this year, even though there's a lot of young GMs that like making moves. I see a move, honestly. I know Jalen Phillips from Miami is a name that a lot of people like, but that's going to come with some money. There's one guy that I think they can afford that I think that would fit in, and that's Calais Campbell with the Arizona Cardinals.
Get in line, pal.
It's our guy.
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes him. Why wouldn't you? I mean, he's 39 years old. I get it. That's old, and as far as people look at that, but you know what? Still a serviceable player. He's got 5 sacks on the season. You know, he can still do his deal, and it's a guy you walk into your locker room, and guys respect him immediately. It's kind of like when the Chiefs brought in Terrell Suggs, and when the Cardinals, believe it or not, released him, and they brought in Terrell Suggs, they were able to get that, a guy that everybody respected. So if they do anything, it'll be low-key defensive line, I think. Maybe not like a huge name that you're expecting. I mean, there was a lot of talk early on of a Breece Hall or somebody like that, and that was attractive because he's a free agent next year, but does he really want to go somewhere that someone's going to not sign him for another contract? And I get it with the Chiefs. Pacheco's going to be gone. Kareem Hunt's going to be gone after this year. So, yeah, Breece Hall would make some sense, but I think the Chiefs would go to the draft to get a running back instead of a free agent and spend all that money, which they don't have at this point. Then Alvin Kamara has always been a name that I know a lot of people like, but he just got that extension last year with the Saints. But the thing about him is he played JUCO ball around the area, but he's 30 years old. He's the same draft as Kareem Hunt, same age as Kareem Hunt. But I don't think he wants to go anywhere. He says he'll be drinking pina coladas on a beach if they trade him. But it is a perfect fit for Andy Reid. The fact that, you know, he catches 70, 80 balls a year would be perfect. But I don't expect the Chiefs to make any splashes. Definitely not a wide receiver. I don't think it'll be a splash at running back. It'd be depth, if anything. And today, with their defensive line move, signing Mike Pinnell, that they didn't have to waste a draft pick on, is kind of the moves that they're making. It's going to be very low-key moves. It's not going to be like picking up DeAndre Hopkins and things that they've done in the past.
Jay Binkley, 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City, joining us here in the Sports Bar. You on tonight, bud?
I am. I'm going to talk a lot about this Bills game. We're talking some Bills even tomorrow night, clearly, with you guys. So, yeah, we got a lot of Buffalo and Kansas City to talk about because, you know, it is the best game in the National Football League this year. Oh, I guess the people want to see the Colts and the Steelers, right? Everybody's buying into the Colts. Do you guys buy into the Colts?
I actually think the Steelers are winning on Sunday.
You know what? I agree with you. And people keep asking about the Colts. I'm like, you know what? You have the Chiefs play with the Bills schedule, and you see what their record would be because they have two wins against the Titans. They've got a win against the Raiders. We know how bad they are. They've got a win against Miami Dolphins. They've got a win against the Arizona Cardinals. So it's not like – and they beat a Chargers team that didn't have three of their offensive linemen, Ian O'Mara and Hampton. So, yeah, I mean,
I take them seriously for two reasons, Jonathan Taylor and Lou Anarumo. Having Lou Anarumo, if he gets to the postseason, that's dangerous. So
he's a Chiefs stopper. I mean, what he did with Cincinnati, he wouldn't always have the best defenses, but he knew how to slow the Chiefs down. Like, I'll credit Lou. I mean, because he did a great job on the Chiefs when he was with the Bengals. And him being with the Colts, it does make a difference. But a lot of people, you know, are going that bandwagon. And, you know, I heard Buffalo talking this week, and, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Chiefs guys. They're getting that category where people are talking down on them and whatever.
We're not doing that. We're not playing that game,
no,
Jay. Nobody's saying that the Bills are being disrespected. Nobody's saying that anybody's disrespecting Josh Allen.
They are too. They are too. Hey, here's the deal, guys. How about Bucky Brooks, former NFL player Bucky Brooks? He put out his top 10 power rankings, right? Not that this stuff makes any difference. He bought the Chiefs off. He's not going to vendetta against the Chiefs. He has the Colts one. He didn't even have the Chiefs in the top 10. And he's got the Lions at like 2 or 3 that the Chiefs just absolutely pasted 30-17. It's just funny because they just that vendetta against the Chiefs where people don't like him. And that, I mean, that's clear bias right there. It's not even your top 10 teams.
You know he played for the Bills, right, Jay? Does that have anything to do with it?
I think the Bills were 7th.
Exactly. There you go.
In the top 5 of Bucky's list. But he's got a clear vendetta because it's just funny hearing this. And I did hear some things coming out of Buffalo, and it's kind of like, well, get used to it. When you get good and people are jealous of you, they're gonna talk trash on you. Whether they're doing it at the Buffalo, which we all know they're going to figure things out. So whether they did it on the Chiefs, because they declared the Chiefs dynasty done. When they were 0-2, it was Mahomes is done, Chiefs are down.
Who was doing that? Who was saying that, Jay? I need names. I don't know who's disrespecting the Chiefs.
Okay, if you want to know, go to a Twitter account, honestly, called Chiefs Receipts.
Oh, here we go.
This guy didn't do any commentary. He just retweets everything. Retweets what Schlereth is saying. Retweets what the national media is saying. Retweets all this stuff about the Chiefs. And I'm sure the Bills have an account like that somewhere, too. Where people
it's
are
not a healthy
that.
Way to live.
I agree with
well,
Gino.
The Chiefs don't really buy into it. They say they don't listen to it or whatever. But, you know, I think it does motivate them to some extent when everybody's so down on your team. I know you guys.
Wait a second. Okay, so this is what – okay, the latest. Let's just take the sample here. This is Chiefs receipts, and this is the ESPN power ranking. Ready? 1, Colts. 2, Lions. 3, Eagles. 4, Bills. Buccaneers at 5, Chiefs at 6. Jay, all those teams ahead of you have better records. What are you upset about?
But who would you favor on a neutral field, the Chiefs or those teams?
Amazing.
They already beat the crap out of the Lions. And, you know, the Lions can cry all they want that they were down 4 defensive backs or whatever. They were down 5 against the Buccaneers.
Oh, that was the game that the refs called for the Chiefs, right? That was the game that the refs were.
Everybody's All-American, Baker Mayfield to be MVP. That was him going against the secondary without their starting corner, nickel corner, without 2 starting corners. Both safeties were out. And the Buccaneers, they shut Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers down. They had all those guys down, but they only scored 17 points against the Chiefs. I'm sorry, but those defensive backs don't play on offense. But, you know, everybody keeps whining about the penalties. Chiefs had 9 penalties. Commanders only had 3. You know, the Chiefs had 13 penalties. The Jaguars had 4. I mean, Chiefs are top 10 in the NFL in penalties. Nobody's been penalized for more yards since Mahomes has been a starter than the Kansas City Chiefs. So, but that's the narrative. That's the narrative. It's the officials. But, you know, it's not the facts. It's the narrative, but not the facts.
We got Jay's blood pressure up. Jay, it's great having you on with us as always, buddy. Really appreciate the time. Look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, I look forward to it, too. And just hope those Bills fans relax. There's 2 teams in the AFC to beat. It's the Chiefs and the Bills, and that's it.
Agree with you. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yep. I don't think he's wrong. Like, the level of consistency between these two franchises for the last 6-7 years, single-handedly killing that meme. Old guys doing 6-7.
Not now. You're making... Yeah, no.
I think that... but I think Jay's right. And, you know, I can't give the Colts the respect that you give the Chiefs. I can't give the Patriots the respect that you give the Bills. That you need to do it for a longer period of time. We're all holding our breath waiting for that letdown to happen. It could happen as soon as this weekend for a Falcons team to rise up and beat.
But that being said, though, there is a possibility this is the year where the Chiefs and the Bills are both wild cards. And you know what? They wouldn't want to be a team you would face. Like, if it ends up being Buffalo at Pittsburgh, if it ends up being Kansas City at Denver, who are you taking in both those games? You're taking the team that's on the road.
Mm-hmm. The disrespect of the Kansas City
Chiefs.
The
disrespect. How dare this power ranking.
The best. The absolute best. Nobody is disrespecting the team that has dominated the AFC East for the better part of a decade. Nobody... that I can tell, I mean, from what I hear, what I see, it's like, oh boy, here they come again. That is that disrespect? Because I think everybody's showing respect by saying, yeah, here they come. they look like the Chiefs again. Oh, boy. Mahomes is doing stuff.
The one thing I'm not going to buy, though. Well, you might see Pacheco.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, bull. He's not playing. Appreciate Jay stopping by. Always fun to get a little peek behind enemy lines there in Chiefs Kingdom. Bills Chiefs pregame coverage starts at noon Sunday afternoon here on The Fan Rochester.
Happy hour on the way. Time for your calls at 866-4FAN. But just be forewarned that you're welcome to call. You just got to make sure you're, you know, coming with something when you're
calling
in. Bring
something to the table or face punishment. A ban. I'm rolling through happy hour heavy-handed, Gino. I banned Luke in January. He tried to get in yesterday. Weak sauce, banned. I'll ban more. I'm not afraid to. No, I'm serious. 866-4326. If you want to join us, we'll talk more Bills Chiefs next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.